Daniel and everyone over at the Extreme Podcast, former WWE superstar Hornswoggle here. I wanted you guys to make sure to check out this brand new podcast, wrestling, movies, video games, everything nerdy. Hope all goes well.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning into the Extreme Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel. And in this episode, I talked with Skip and he told his bullying story. And you're going to get to hear how he was bullied and how he overcame it. And I hope this helps somebody out there, and until next time, I'll see you guys on the flip side.
I'm Dr. Skip Mondragon. I'm a internal medicine doctor. I spent 26 years in the Army, but my real claim to fame are 5 independent, employed children. 4 amazing grandchildren. And especially my sweetheart, my wife of almost 40 years, Sherry. She's my fellow word nerd, a fellow author, the love of my life, and my fellow adventurer. My story begins as a young child. My father came back from the Korean War a broken man. He was not the same man that went to war. He came back with mental illness and alcoholism. And when he drank, he was violent. I don't remember this, but my oldest sister, now I'm the 3rd of 8 children. I have 2 older sisters, 4 younger brothers, and a younger sister. But my oldest sister, Roma, says that when my dad would come home, we'd run and hide because we didn't know which dad was coming home, the kind, gentle, fun-loving dad or the angry, abusive dad. This was the childhood that I grew up in. It's chaotic. It was difficult. It was uncertain. Now, to make matters worse, I was the smallest kid in my class. I was shy. I was both physically and socially awkward. I was the kid that walked to school by myself, kid that sat in the lunchroom by themselves, and the kid that was bullied. See, there's something about bullies. Bullies recognize kids that are vulnerable. They seem to have, it's like a shark smelling blood in the water. They have this homing device. They look for the vulnerable ones. See, they're not going to take on anybody that might fight back. Now, mind you, I did stand up for myself. Tell them I'm not going to give you my lunch money, or no, you're not going to push me around. I took many a beating, but I did not like to get pushed around. I didn't like others to try to take advantage of me. I didn't go complaining to anybody. No, that was the way it was. I'd go home and tell my mom or tell my grandma or my older sisters, tell a teacher. No, you know, that's the way it was. But I internalized all of that. So I was this awkward, shy child who had no athletic skill. And when I was growing up, and I'll come back to this idea of social capital, but when I was growing up, social capital was really through 2 means, at least for boys. You could be an athlete or you could be a brainiac, or the best of 2 worlds, you could be both. Well, I definitely wasn't an athlete. I couldn't hardly run, jump, and I certainly couldn't throw a ball, catch a ball, or kick a ball. I even failed at tetherball. I remember in the 4th grade, our teacher would take us out maybe every quarter or so and test the boys in chin-ups and the girls in bent arm hangs. So the girls would have to pull themselves up, chin level with the bar, and hold themselves for a time. I would dread for my name to be called. All right, Skip, it's your turn. I jump up to that lowest bar, pull and grunt, kick with all my might. Couldn't do 1 chin-up. Meanwhile, I'm listening to the laughter and the smirks and comments from my classmates. You know, I just felt, you know, guilt, shame, you know, could hear the ridicule. And then all those years of growing up, when we'd go out to recess and teams were chosen, or games during gym, I was always the last child chosen. And that was only by default. And then this chorus would go up. Ah, why does he have to be on our team? So that was my child. And in eighth grade, I discovered wrestling. It was the first time I ever had this sense that I could be good at a sport. And after some practices, I thought, I think I can be really good at this. Took me 2 years to win a match. Now, I was the only eighth grader on the varsity team in junior high. I was probably the best wrestler in the wrestling room as a ninth grader, but I'd get so worked up the night before a match. I didn't get any sleep. I'd toss and turn, and I'd be so exhausted the next day emotionally and physically, I just couldn't perform. Then that next summer, I started winning tournament. Next year, I spent 3 years on varsity in high school, and I graduated as a honorable mention All-American. Later won many state freestyle, which is one of the Olympic style tournaments, and then later wrestled some more, won different tournaments. Then I got the wrestling bug at age 56 again and won a national veterans championship. But wrestling, let me come back to that idea of social capital, lest I forget here. One of the things that helps kids compensate when they're being bullied is social capital. Being very smart, as I said, being athletic, as I said, band, music. So that could be one thing. Arts could be another thing, be it the visual arts, be it drama. Kids finding a group that they can belong to. Robotics nowadays, you know, a lot of different things. But kids have so many more options nowadays that they can belong to that builds their self-worth, builds that sense of confidence, competence, and another group that they can hang out with, others that believe in them, others that build them up, others that cheer them up, others that cheer them on, others that they can hang with, so they have a group that they're not this lone person out there that the bullies are looking for. Because the bullies want to, it's like the weak wolf or the weak animal, you know, in a pack that the wolves want to attack. They don't want to attack the strong animal in that pack. They're looking for the one, the straggler, the weak one that's straggling off the rest of the group there. That's the one they're going to attack. And same with bullies. They're not going to look to, you know, attack you if you're with that group. No, because they're cowards. Bullies are cowards. You know what was the interesting thing when I started wrestling? I wasn't any bigger. I was in the lowest weight class. I was 85-pound wrestler in eighth grade. But guess what? After I started wrestling, the bullies left me alone. Many years later, I'd laugh with my brothers, because I have four younger brothers who happen to be a lot bigger than I am, because I'm still a small man. And I laugh and I say, well, where were the bullies then? Bring the bullies on. Bullies are cowards. Bullies look for the vulnerable. So if we can get kids who feel confident, feel good about themselves, and carry themselves with confidence, guess what? They're not going to be an easy target for the bullies. The bullies are looking for kids that are easy targets. Kids who walk around, heads down, shoulders slumped, chest caved in, won't look people in the eye, kind of speak in a low voice, this type of thing. That's who they're looking for, the kids that look vulnerable. Kids that stand upright, even if they're small, shoulders back, chest out, head up, that have this air of confidence. Guess what? Even if they're small, they don't want to mess with you because they know you're going to fight back. They're not going to be pushing you around. That's why we need to teach kids and get them into activities that build up their confidence, build up their competence, build up their character, make them feel good about themselves. And I'm convinced of that. Now, one of the things we contend with nowadays that we didn't years past is social media. And that's where a lot of bullying goes on. And that's why parents, if you're listening to this, don't let your kids take their phones to bed with them. A few reasons for that. One, because it's horrendous for their sleep, because a lot of kids, they sleep with this phone next to them, maybe under their pillow or right next to their bed. And this thing is pinging and dinging and ringing all night long. And some of these kids, bing, you know, they wake up, well, did I get another hit? Who liked me? Who did this? Who sent this message? That's terrible for their sleep hygiene. Absolute terrible. Or they're staying up late, scrolling through messages, sending messages, doing this. Kids need to get their sleep, good sound sleep. But also because that's when the bullies come out and sending these messages, spamming folders and sending out these ugly texts. Parents, do not let your kids take their phones to bed. You either take it into your bedroom or have a centralized place where everybody plugs in their phone and you say, after this time in the evening, phones are off. You do not have access to your phone. They're going to whine and they're going to cry and they're going to carry on. So what? Let them. Don't let them have a computer in their room either. The same thing will happen. They'll just go online and waste hours away, stay up too late, and it's the same effect. Parents, protect your kids. Get them into those other activities. Protect their sleep.
Yeah, and my, you know, my experiences, I've had a few experiences with bullying, and you got it right. Like, I found, I was like in the programming community, I was in the arts, as well as I found something, like, I'm really big in video games and things like that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that, but what I try to explain to people is, you know, video games kind of, that and wrestling, I guess is the best way to explain that. Video games, wrestling, music, things like that was my escape from the world to get away from what was going on in my life. And some people just don't get that. And I'm like, how I like to explain it is, it's like if you read a book, you can go into this different world, become this other person. That's how it is for those things for me. And it's funny because, like, I do digital art and things like that, but I cannot, if I read a book, I cannot visualize the story in my head. It's one of those weird things. Like, that's why I'd prefer the movie or the if there's a game or something, because somebody's already done that for me. And for some reason, like I said, I just can't. Now, if I write it or I draw it, fine. Like, I can do it every day. But if it's somebody else's work, for some reason, I cannot visualize it. So I can see that because I use my own coping mechanisms and things like that to get through that. So, yeah. You mentioned, so when you found wrestling, was there anything that led to you trying, like, to look into wrestling, or?
Well, it was a few things. One, I had failed at everything else, you know, football, basketball, baseball, gymnastics. Like, I tell people, I think I said, I failed at tetherball, you know, kickball, track and field, all these things. I just could not do these things well. I was never taught how to do these things. I didn't have an older brother. I didn't have a father around. I didn't have anybody that taught me how to throw a ball, how to catch a ball, how to kick a ball. I didn't develop those skills as a child, much less going into adolescence. I lacked strength. I lacked quickness. I lacked coordination. So I didn't have those skills. So you think about it, if you don't have that, certainly can't play football, baseball, basketball. Plus, I was small. So it's hard to compete against boys that are a lot larger than you. Football, certainly basketball. And if you don't have those skills, you can't play a skilled position either. And so it really limited my ability to compete in any of those other things. Wrestling is weight-based. That's the other thing that attracted me to it. It was a sport now where I was not going to have to compete against boys that were a lot bigger and stronger than I was. It was going to be a level playing field. I was finally going to be able to compete against boys that were my own size. And when I found I could do that, I found that, guess what? I'm beating all these boys that are my same size. And it felt good. And I found that I had a lot of heart. That was the other thing, because wrestling is grueling. There's very few sports that'll require as much as wrestling does. And I found that I could push myself and make myself work hard and make myself work harder than the other kids. That I was willing to push through that pain and train harder than these other kids. And part of that was born out of the fact that of the rejection I faced, the ridicule I faced, and the shame I faced because I had been so weak and incapable of doing things, the last kid chosen and made fun of, that I had a point to prove. I'm going to show you. And so there were, I think, a lot of things going on. I don't know that all of that was conscious. I know much of it wasn't. And it's only in retrospect that I came to understand this. But I knew at the time, yes, oh, I'm not going to have to compete against boys bigger. So that certainly was an attraction. And the fact that nothing else panned out for me in terms of a sport.
Yeah, I mean, and you put it like, that's one thing in, I want to say middle school is when I tried to do wrestling, and just the training for it, like running laps, doing that, like I couldn't do it. I quit the first day I signed up for it. And the only thing that I had seen with wrestling up until that point was what I saw on TV with like actual wrestling.
Right, right.
You know, like that quote unquote fake wrestling, uh-huh. Which I try to explain to people. I'm like, yeah, it's scripted, but like both sides are real. Like they're mm-hmm. actually athletes. They're doing the things. And I've seen videos from like wrestling schools that don't teach you like the, it's just like your normal traditional wrestling schools. And I've seen the ones that teach the new talent for actual like TV and stuff. And they're both the same. They're like gruesome. You're doing the laps. And I was like, I just remember walking out of there. Like, yeah. I can't do this. And I went back to the locker room and I just left. I don't know if they realized I left. I don't know. I just left. I was like, I can't do it. And I called, it was either my grandma or my mom. I was like, I need you to come pick me up. I quit.
It's tough. Yeah, wrestling is tough.
And that's kind of when I personally was like, I've got to find something else. And that's kind of when I went to like the arts and the programming department, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. And even that, with that, it's important that kids remain active. You don't have to necessarily compete, but remain active. Get out there, move your bodies, do something. And that can be biking. That can be walking. Do some kind of resistance training thrown in there. But get your body moving. Dance. Get your jump rope. I mean, I spent countless hours with my jump rope well into my 60s. I've used a jump rope because I like the feel of jumping rope and doing these tricks that I've learned with a jump rope over the years. I like getting in the weight room. I like the resistance training. And as you get older, you find out it's more and more important to maintain that muscle mass, because as we age, we lose the muscle mass. But that's a story for another time.
So you also mentioned like towards the beginning, like how you were in the army at one point. Did the whole situation with your dad, or even like the bullying aspect, did any of that lead up to that?
Well, that's a interesting question in terms of the bullying. I never thought about that in terms of the army. I don't know in terms of the army, to be honest, with the bullying. I never thought about that. I'd have to think on that some more. Now, in regards to my dad, I think so. At the time I made that decision to go into the army, I didn't think so, but in retrospect, especially as I got towards the end of my career, 26 years in the army, I began to think, why did I join the army? Why did I go into medicine? And in part, I think it was because of my dad, that he was ill. He had the mental illness, the alcoholism. And I think it was because of his sense that they couldn't help my dad. They had such a limited ability back in the 50s and the 60s to treat these diseases. And I think it was that sense that they couldn't help my dad, but maybe I can help these soldiers and help their families. So I think that was part of that. It wasn't anywhere near on a conscious level, and only understood that, as I said, very late in my career in the army. that that was part of it. But you said something there now that I think about it. See, when I became a wrestler in that eighth grade year, another thing happened because my mother had remarried and we finally had some stability into our lives. My daddy-o, my stepfather, most amazing man that I've had the privilege of knowing personally, opened up just worlds to us. And with that stability, it was the first time I began to realize my academic prowess, if you will, and achieve to my potential or towards my potential academically. I brought home straight A's for the first time. First quarter. What? Huh? I realized that I was making straight A's. Second quarter, straight A's. Third quarter, straight A's. You know, I'm one of the smart kids now. I'm getting inducted into the National Junior Honor Society. So I had two things going for me. You know, I'm this wrestler. Now I'm one of the smart kids. Hey. So I had two things that were helping me compensate. But with the wrestling, it became this identity. I'm a tough guy. And that carried through my life, this idea that I'm a tough guy, even though I'm a small man. I'm 5'5", and I weigh about 130 pounds. I wrestled 85 and 95 in junior high, and 112 pounds through high school. So I'm not a big guy. But I took on that identity as a tough guy, and that carried me through there. The Army, the training, 30 months in combat zones. And then at age 56, I decided I wanted to train again for wrestling and won a National Veterans Wrestling Championship. So this tough guy attitude, but that has a double-edged sword. We can get you in trouble. In a story for another time, I became depressed. And so that double-edged sword, when you take on that tough guy persona, that you sometimes lose track of what's going on, and don't know how to say I'm hurting, I need help. And you just sink deeper and deeper and deeper into this dark pit. But kids, again, need things that help them compensate. And so you found it in the arts. I found it in wrestling and academics. But again, I encourage kids, get active. Your bodies need to move. Our bodies are meant to move. And with COVID, I think people, because of all the uncertainty and the lockdowns and the quarantines, there's been more tendency to not move. And we've got to get ourselves moving. If you move, you're going to feel better just by virtue of getting your body moving. Now, a simple thing that I teach people is your physiology affects your psychology, and your psychology affects your physiology. So think about the posture of somebody who's feeling good about themselves or somebody who's just won a championship. Think about their posture. What happens? Their head comes up. Their shoulders go back. Their chest comes up, right?
Yep.
Because they're a winner. They're a champion. Now, what happens when somebody is feeling shameful, is feeling defeated, is feeling weak? Their head drops. Their shoulders cave in. Their chest is different. And powerful things happen in our physiology with that. When we are in that powerful pose, our testosterone goes up. Our stress hormone cortisol goes down. Our creativity goes up. Strength is increased. Endurance is increased. Your immune system is improved. All of these things take place when we take a powerful stance, that powerful posture. Now we take that weak posture. Now our testosterone drops. Our cortisol goes up. Our creativity goes down. Our strength goes down. Our endurance goes down. Our immunity drops. So these two are so closely aligned. And what's the normal posture that so many kids, or so many in our society, not just kids, because by virtue of this mini computer we carry around in our pocket, this phone, what is it? Head down, shoulders caved in, chest deflated over this device. Some cases, hours a day. That's horrible, first of all, for your spine and your neck, but it's horrible because of that weak, deflated posture. So one of the simple things that somebody can do for themselves when they've got before a test, before they have to speak in front of others, before an interview, is to get someplace where they can take that powerful pose, a Superman pose. Think about it, you know, head up, chest out, hands on the on the hips there, a powerful pose, looking up, big smile, hey, and stand like that for 2 minutes, 3 minutes before you have to go and perform, rather than sit there in a chair, hunched over, looking at your phone in that weak posture. That can make a remarkable difference in how you perform. Likewise, if you're walking around in that confident pose, as I said earlier, it sends signals to bullies because they're scanning. They're always scanning. They're always looking. Who's the vulnerable ones? When you walk with confidence and you walk with purpose, guess what? I don't care how small you are. They're much less likely to look to push you around, single you out, because they can see that confidence. They can sense that confidence. And that's why it's important to carry yourself in this way.
That is, there's so much truth behind that. I mean, it's why companies are now making things for when you're sitting now, like to keep your posture in check. And I know, like I do Twitch every now and then, and like there's an option now to where like people can hit this button that says essentially to check your posture to sit straight. Like there's things that are starting to like implement into society so that people realize what they're doing when they're doing it. You know what I mean? Because not everybody realizes like when you're bent down, really what you're doing. Because it's just like we said, it was like books, movies, things like that. Your brain is then going into that world, and right. And even if it's as simple as scrolling through your phone. I mean, there's been times personally where I've been on like when I got furloughed last year because of COVID. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't have a job I had to go to, nothing. So there was times where I was like this for just lost in hours, just scrolling on like Facebook and stuff. And it's not only not good for like your health, but it's not good for your mental health either.
That's right.
I just scrolling through the timelines. I had a kind of a breakdown, and what I decided to do was like separate myself for a few months. And the client that I use for my podcast and stuff, they tended my podcast stuff. They sent it out, you know, whenever I uploaded it, things like that. And I would get on it literally just to check my podcast page to make sure everything went right, and then I would just get back off of it. Because that was pretty bad, like the mental like breakdown. Like I almost went to some therapies and stuff. But the podcast kind of helped me because I got to talk and meet different people, and it helped me stay on some kind of routine, even if I didn't have a routine. Yeah, it was an interesting time. Now I'm back to work, so you know I sit and think about it because like you know. It's funny when you're working and you have a job and you're going consistently, you're always like, man, I want a day off. I want to go home and just sit here and watch TV, or you know what I mean? But like when you're off for 6 months with nothing, you're like, man, I just want to go back. Like call me, you know,
I want to be back at work. Let me go to work.
Yeah. It's just, I honestly think it's, I mean, especially for me, I mean, probably for other people, I think it's that routine thing. When you don't have that routine, you don't have any responsibility. Your mental health is already starting to structurally spiral down. And then add the online community is rough at some times. You add all that, you add the news, you add all these different factors in, and I feel like it just... It accelerates your downward spiral.
Yes. No, I think you're absolutely right. And you think about some of our kids, how much time they spend on their devices, whether typically their phones, but their phones and or their computers. Some of them, as soon as they get up, what are they doing? They're scrolling through their phone before they do anything else. And then on their way to school, what are they doing? I see kids in our neighborhood walking to school. Watch where you're walking. Yeah. I came back from the state wrestling tournament down in Houston. We live in the Dallas area. And here's these parents, in some cases with young children that are walking next to them. And they're scrolling through their phones in the parking lot. And I'm with two other guys and we're saying, what is wrong with these parents? What is wrong with these adults? And there's others. They're just walking through, you know, scrolling through their phones and thinking, what is wrong with you? Watch where you're going. And I go on college campuses. It's the same thing. You see these kids walking around.
Oh, yeah. College
campuses. Get your heads up, kids. Look where you're going. And one of the things that just makes me so frustrated is when I see young women by themselves walking, looking down at their phones. It's like, pay attention. You hate to think that anything would happen, but you think, guess what? You're making yourself vulnerable when you aren't paying attention to your surroundings. You got your head in your phone. You're walking alone. And especially if it's getting dark or it's dark, just pay attention.
So I deliver packages and stuff. That's my job currently. And I had a headset, you know, like one of the ones that go in your ear for like if my boss calls or coworker sure. or something like that. And, you know, I'm not always in the best neighborhood. And I mean, there's some shady neighborhoods and you,
sure.
you know, like just driving through it. But one thing I've learned is first off, you're in a neighborhood like that, just act like you fit in. Because 9 times out of 10, you blend in. If you look like you're lost, going back to the whole bully thing.
Yeah, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, boy.
But I saw these glasses at Best Buy, and they're smart glasses, quote unquote. But they're sunglasses, and they have speakers in it to where it's like right above your ear. So you can hear everything that's in that as well as everything that's around you. So I ended up getting those because it allowed me to be more engaged of my surrounding than if I had 2 earbuds in my ears. But just college campuses, you mentioned, like, I think it's okay every once in a while to like to look down to do stuff, but like you need to be aware of where you're at. And I think that's the disconnect of where we're at now is people don't realize where they're going. Like I've seen people just walk right in the middle of the road, just walk in front of me. It was a green light. They just walked across. And I'm just like, if I wasn't paying attention, you might not be here. Like, but like they didn't look up until they got across the street. And I'm just like, you know, when I was always told to look both ways before you walk, like, you know,
yes. Like,
just some common sense things that I think are starting to get lost. And I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to fix it, if it's too late, you know, what the case be, you know, because it's not just kids anymore that it, I mean, it's adults. Yep. I mean,
these kids that have grown up with this computer in their hands, now they're adults. And this is what they've grown up with.
Well, and this is a little bit off what our subject originally was, but like if you think about it, it's literally a little bit of everything. If you look at the internet too, the internet's it's not a terrible place, but at the same time, it is.
Yes.
It's helped us advance to the point of where we're at now, but at the same time, it's also brought a lot of hostility. It's brought a lot of bad things. Same thing with phones. The phones, like everybody has a camera on their phone now, and it's helped us progress in certain things. But at the same time, you're a lot. I would say maybe like 8 out of 10 times, you're not seeing the whole story. You're seeing from when that person picked up their phone, hit start, to whenever they decide to end it. So it's helped, especially like I was watching a documentary about just how like people found like these serial killers through the internet. I want to say it was on Netflix, I think, but it was the community, like on Facebook, they were searching for all these, like from this clip to try to find a hint. And they did, they found a guy, and it's helped with certain things, but at the same time, it's harmed certain things. And I think that's kind of where we're at. But that's like with any technology, anything that we've created that you look like it's helped us advance, but at the same time, it's caused its own challenges.
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword. It can be used for good or used for bad.
Yep. And then fortunately, I mean, you just kind of got to move through life, because like a lot of times, like there's always going to be somebody that misuses something.
Well, of course.
Which is sad, but that's just how it works, I guess. Unfortunately.
Yes.
But thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. I enjoyed hearing your story. And
if there's anything I would leave others with, especially kids in regards to bullies, is don't make yourself vulnerable. Take to heart some of the hints I talked about in terms of your posture. Find some things you can compensate with, be it the arts, robotics, academics, music, something that you can do, and a group that you can be involved with. Because again, bullies, they are not typically going to bully you when you're with a group. They want you off when you're by yourself and looking for that vulnerable person who looks, as I said, weak and wimpy. And if you carry yourself with confidence and you build that confidence by achieving some competence in an area, but you change your physiology, you change your psychology, you change your psychology, you change your physiology. So all of this works together. Don't make yourself vulnerable.